What's going on, everybody? You recognize the rock music. It's the Golf Card Strategy Show. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com, and I'm here today with Mike LaCosta for episode 3 of the Golf Card Strategy Show. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to talk golf cards. There's a lot going on in the world of golf right now, and golf cards with Full Swing airing on Netflix. You talked about that back on episode 1, and we hit on it a little bit on episode 2. And I know there's a lot of transactions going on, and of course, tournaments being played. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it's sort of the beginning of the golf season. All the big names are starting to play. The fall and through the winter is kind of known as being a slow time. So they go through Hawaii, and then when they finally touch down back on the mainland U.S. is when things start to get interesting. And yeah, this is where you see the FedEx Cup standings start to shuffle around a lot. So you'll see kind of like mid-tier, second-tier golfers leading in the FedEx Cup. And now is when they start to kind of fall down the list.
What have been the biggest tournaments? Like, obviously the majors, the Masters being the number one, kind of number one major, the Open, things like that. What are the tournaments that drive, like, that have driven the most value up in golf cards? Does it depend on the player, or is there always kind of a, and it, well, it probably does depend on the player, right? Because they all don't have cards necessarily.
Yeah. So what's interesting about this year is that it's the start of the new elevated event series. So there's, I think it's the four majors plus, I forget if it's 13 or 17. I think it's 13 events plus the four majors make 17 total. That the top 30 golfers in the world, not in the world's ranking list, but the top 30 best players / iconic players that everybody wants to come and watch, the most influential golfers, have committed to all play these elevated events. So I would say all of those elevated events are going to be the ones that are really shaking and moving card prices. So that's the four majors, obviously the Players, which is kind of known as being the fifth major sort of. And then I don't know, like all the other elevated events are going to be really good ones to watch as a spectator. The Waste Management that just happened a couple weeks ago is kind of one of the most fun events of the year, where especially on the 16th, which is that par 3, where they build a big stadium around the hole, and they kind of encourage fans to drink and throw their beers at guys if they get like a hole in one or if there's something ridiculous happening. They showed a pretty funny moment from a couple of years ago on the Full Swing show, where it was Joel Damon and I forget the other guy. It was a larger guy who's not, doesn't look like a professional athlete, but he hit a big birdie putt and flashed everybody his jelly belly.
Awesome. That was awesome. I didn't know about that 16th par 3 there until Full Swing. So that seemed really fun to me and something that golf probably needs a little bit more of. I'm glad they do some stuff like that. So I know you want to jump into some Full Swing review stats on this episode. I wrote an article for Sports Card Investor as well. So go check that out at sportscardinvestor.com about Full Swing. You'll see it there right now on the homepage if you go soon after this episode airs. Also, Mike has inspired me to update the golf card rankings a little bit more at nooffseason.com. So we're getting there. We're going to be adding some more golfers, hopefully, as we figure out which cards are the most investable. But you can go premium free for a year at nooffseason.com. Email me at paul@nooffseason.com to find out how. And let's get into it, man. So I think there's some funny eBay listings or Comp C listings you wanted to talk about too today.
Oh yeah, sure. You know what? I had an idea, Paul. I mean, before every show, I send you some bullet points about what we should talk about. And so maybe why don't I just run through that as a bit of a rundown, so that our viewers kind of have an idea of what they're going to tune in for. And then we can dive into the first topic. So I wanted to follow up on a couple of things that our viewers commented on past episodes. So maybe I'll get you on the screen showing some cards and we can talk about it for a minute or two. Let's chat about a couple guys from Full Swing. I'll talk about a couple guys and then I'll let you take the lead because you wrote a whole article about it. The meat of what I wanted to talk about today is golf PMGs. So the precious metal gems, which is a historic, iconic, subset that Upper Deck has released for various sports. And then there was, I wanted to touch back on a couple of cards we've talked about in past episodes, Topps Chrome First Pitch for Jordan Spieth, and then Super Glow cards. So we'll just fit that in at the end if we've got time. That's your rundown.
Sounds good, man. Love it.
So, hey, let's talk about, there's two cards I wanted to talk about at the beginning that viewers had brought up. So the first one was a comment on our last video, and I'm so sorry I didn't write down the username, but essentially they were asking about Tiger Woods 2001 rookie promo card. And based on the question, I knew which card he was talking about. But what I found really interesting is when I did a search on eBay for 2001 Tiger Woods rookie promo, there were like a dozen different types of promo cards that popped up. And the reason I found that interesting is when we talk about Tiger Woods rookie cards, there's so many different types of cards. There's the 97, or there's the 96 Sports Illustrated for Kids, the 97 Master Collection, the tall boy card. There's the, you know, Card One, which is kind of like that. There's an actual tiger animal behind Tiger Woods. What looks like it's on like a, it's a shape of a playing card. It kind of looks like a cell phone swipe card from the 90s. And then we get finally his proper 2001 Upper Deck rookie card. So there's so many types of Tiger Woods rookie cards that this one that you've just shown on the screen, actually, if you zoom in right in the middle, is kind of what people call the 2001 Tiger promo rookie card. That's from one of his majors. It's an iconic image of him throwing his fist in the air. But I found it was interesting that there's like a dozen other promo rookie cards and none of them have any clout. This is the one though.
Okay. So good for everybody to know for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So I followed a couple auctions after he asked that question. One of them just ended last night for almost like $500 US for a BGS 9.5. So it's really interesting that that's selling more than double a BGS 9.5 of his 2001 traditional rookie card.
Yeah, this promo card that you're talking about right here sold for, not necessarily this one with this grading service, yeah, but a version of this in BGS 9.5 sold for $500.
Yeah, I think it was like $480 or $490, okay, or something like, okay, that. But I think the question was, what do we think of this card? As a collector, I love it. It's definitely one I want. How much is that listed for there?
This PSA 10 is listed $850. For $850.
Yeah. I think PSA 10 for the actual number one rookie card is selling for $230 to $275 kind of range. So I imagine it's probably double for the PSA 10 of his promo rookie card. Probably because it's a lower pop. Lower population, for those who don't know the pop term. So yeah, I love it as a collector, as an investor. Lower population of a card means it's traditionally more investable.
And here's one that's listed for $3,300. And I think you kind of want, I don't want to steal your thunder here, so I'll let you make the point, but I'll pull up some sold listings. Here's sold. Okay, sold listing of a PSA 10 sold for $1,200. So this is interesting. So we've got a sold listing for $1,200 a couple weeks ago. Mm. And, you know, I'll let you comment on this and I'll pull up the pop count, but here's one, you know, there was one that's listed for $850 and another one listed for $3,300. So all over the map there with that. Let me pull up the pop count while you,
I mean,
you talk about this.
what I can comment on that. Yeah, I'm sure you already know what I'm going to say. People can ask whatever price they want. So to our viewers who aren't super busy on eBay all the time, beware of when you see a buy it now. If you see something at a ridiculously high price and you're just not sure why it's listed at that, it's somebody fishing for offers. If somebody lists it at $3,000 and they get an offer of 50% off of $1,500, they would gladly take it because it's higher than comps. Like, of course. Another good example, last week we talked about my Bryson DeChambeau Artifacts RPA, numbered out of 10. And I purchased the BGS 8.5 for $155 US. And literally a few days later, somebody posted the same card numbered out of 10, a different number out of 10 for over $5,000. And I paid $155 for it. So just be careful when you look at buy it now prices.
Yeah. Do what I just did, which is look at recent sold comps by going to sold. You know, there's a couple of different ways to do that. You can go, if you have a Market Movers subscription, you can go to Market Movers. If you don't, you can check that out, marketmoversapp.com, and use the promo code NOOFFSEASON to get your first month for only $1. But there's also eBay sold, just filter by sold items. And then, of course, 130 Point is a great free resource that many of us in the hobby use to see sales data. But this is an interesting sort of process here, Mike, because I want to walk the users through this. I basically just took this card and I saw, while you were talking, and I saw, okay, there's one listed for 3,300 US. There's one listed for 850 US. What's the deal with this? And then here's another one right below it listed for 1,200 US. I did this, a sold listing search. I'm going to do it again here for everybody, and then we can comment on this and then go where you want to go next. But I think this is an interesting exercise. So you go to eBay, and then I'm just going to paste in the same search term, and I'm going to go down to the left-hand column and filter by sold items. And then it's going to show me the most, you know, most relevant sales based on that. So here's one for 1200. So now I'm thinking, like, hopefully all of you are thinking, well, here's one for 850. So if I get this, is this an immediate $400 profit for me? Well, what I did was I went to psa.com/cert and I typed in the certification number on this card that's listed for 850. And just to validate that it is a valid PSA slab, at least as much as I can validate it. Of course, this will go through eBay's authenticity guarantee program, which really will validate it for you. So that kind of covers you as the buyer. But this is saying, yes, this is POP 259 in PSA 10. So now, Mike, what do you think of this? Because if I can get this card right now for 850 and somebody just sold it for 1200, is that an opportunity for the listeners out there?
Yeah, you better click buy now right now, Paul, while we're live, before one of our listeners does. Possibly. So I'm going to say no. First of all, one thing I noticed when you're on the last screen on the PSA registry, there was actually a PSA price guide value of $1,100. So that actually does kind of validate the theory that you were just saying. Why not buy it at 850 if one sold for 1200 recently? PSA's price guide is telling me it's worth $1,100. You know, maybe it's worth it. Maybe nobody's touching that eBay listing because it's an old PSA label. It doesn't have the new shiny rectangle reflector. Maybe it's something as stupid as that. And you could send it in for $30 and get it reholdered. Maybe it's a play. But the reason that I said no is that I hate to admit this because I'm the golf card guy, but I think prices are a little high right now. I've had my eye closely on golf cards for 2 years. And, you know, I know people have talked a lot about sunk costs and if you miss the boat from a couple months ago, you know, there's no sense looking back in the rearview mirror because, you know, if we all had a crystal ball, we buy everything that's about to go up. But what I've seen is the F1 effect on golf cards. I've seen, and I don't know if it's because of Full Swing or if it's because the season is starting, we're coming up on the Masters, that people had so much fun at the Waste Management Open that they want to go buy cards. And we're coming up on some exciting tournaments. Tiger just played last weekend for the first time since the British Open. So there's a lot going for golf right now, and it's reflecting on prices. And I just hesitate to spend that much money on a card unless you think it's going to go up. And I see it going up, and I don't know if it's going to just keep going up, if it's going to plateau, or if it's going to kind of come down or ride waves according to the traditional seasons that sports do. I'm not buying it because I don't know what's going to go on. My purchasing strategy right now is looking for good deals, to be frank. So I would almost buy anything. I would almost buy any card. If the price is right, and the price is right isn't always like a magic number. I'm not buying every card at 80% comps or whatever. Like I'm looking at for cards that are rare, low numbered, of players that I would be happy to hold on to if the price goes down, knowing, okay, well, it's officially a PC card and I'm going to hold out until things go up. But yeah, that's my plan, is looking for good deals, looking for rare cards. Pop 250 or whatever is a relatively sparse card. But it is kind of an iconic card. Like, I'm sure there's a pretty high population, including low, like PSA 9s and 8s and 7s.
Yeah, it's a tricky one for me too, because there's no guarantee that just because you buy something that you can sell it for what the most recent comp is. And that's a lesson that I learned the hard way with a lot of plays that I attempted in the first couple of years, honestly, of doing this. Getting my reps in, I kind of broke even a lot and even kind of came in at 10, 15% under what I thought I was going to sell it for. And that, you know, that hurts when you do that so often. Think assuming, like, it's not like selling a stock. It's not like getting right on TD Ameritrade or whatever, and all of a sudden you have all these bids immediately to buy for the market price, you know, at what it's at. You basically, you still have to sell it. You still have to be somewhat good at sales and listing the card and doing it at the right time. And, you know, you do have to, you know, there is an element of fortune. I won't say luck, but there is an element of good fortune when it comes to this stuff. The transaction has to work out too. You have to ship it well, ship it on time. The buyer has to, you know, has to be happy with it, all those different things. So that's not to say that for those of you who have not sold many cards, that it's super difficult, because it's not once you get used to it. But it isn't guaranteed. So that's just kind of another disclaimer out there. But all right, Mike, back over to you.
You bet. So that's enough about that promo card. But what I found interesting was all of the different variations of promo cards from 2001. So I'm going to list them off just so that our listeners, if there's anybody who's trying to build a Tiger Woods collection, they could look into any of these. So the one that we just looked at is the most iconic promo. But there's also a pretty well-known SP Authentic preview number 21 sample. So it actually has the word sample written on the card. So that's a pretty neat card to look for. 2001 Tiger Jam promo. There's two versions of that one, number TJ1 and number TJ2 silver script. Couple of cool Tiger Woods. I wouldn't call them rookies, but they're from his, I don't know, he doesn't have a rookie year per se, but they're from the same year as his iconic rookie card. So maybe you could call those ones rookie cards. And there you can see they sell for a decent penny. For the lower end, they're not promo cards, but they're also from the 2001 Upper Deck Golf set. Of course, you've got the number one card, which is his iconic rookie, but then you've got other base cards in that set. There's March, stat leaders. There's probably half a dozen or more different Tiger Woods base cards from 2001 that aren't very valuable, but they're great for a collector. And then the Tiger Tales insert set. So there was 30 Tiger Woods cards inserted, I think, in like every pack of that set. And the images varied anywhere from when Tiger Woods was a little kid swinging a golf club to, you know, when he won his Masters in 97. So those are some cool ones. And then some really obscure ones. 2001 National Promo Heroes of Golf, number 1TW. There's a Jumbo E-Promo card. Williams World Challenge, Tiger Woods. Buick Open Promo. Czech Stadium Promo. 2001 Legends Grand Slam. Yeah, there's a ton of cool cards from 2001.
Yeah, that's very cool. I like that. It's almost like the LeBron James Upper Deck. There's so many different cards from LeBron James in 2003. And so my only question for you is, like, it seems like, you know, from a value standpoint, we looked at the rookie promo a minute ago, the one we were looking at before you started talking about Sample, Jam, and the others. Is there one, I mean, is that the one to target? If you're going to go for one of these, is that the one to target if you've got a little bit of a budget? Are these like super mass produced and kind of like easy to find? And Or are they actually, like, you know, not as mass produced as the LeBron James? That's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll have to put my investor hat on. So as a collector, they're all cool. As an investor, all of the, like, the last ones I mentioned, don't touch them. I think the Tiger Jam promo has some potential, because it's not talked about too much. And if and when Tiger retires someday, he's going to pass away. I think some of those cards are going to be sought after. So between Tiger promo number TW, the first one we looked at, the SPA preview sample, and the Tiger Jam cards, I would say they're all pretty comparable in terms of value. Like the first one we looked at is going to carry the highest price. I think the Jam promos have the best potential. That's my thought.
Cool. I like that.
Okay, let's move on to really quickly. Let's touch on some vintage stuff, because I think either it was last episode, we commented on a viewer who talked about the 1927 Bobby Jones rookie card. And it's really funny. I've seen that pop up a lot ever since he mentioned it, which is really cool. And it made me wonder if our viewers are listening, if maybe, like, there's some action on that card because people are listening to us. I saw one pop up on Instagram, somebody trying to sell one for, I think it was an SGC 4 for, I think he was asking $700 US or something like that. And the one you're showing is the one I'm going to talk about next, but the 27, which is a rookie card, I also saw it pop up in our Facebook group. I've seen it come up listed on eBay. So yeah, that's cool to see. Now, this is the one that I mentioned that I would personally go after, maybe, because I think it's probably going to have a lower price tag, since it's not his rookie card, but it's from an iconic 1933 Sports Kings set, where you're going to have, like, famous baseball players and basketball players and stuff as well. So it's a kind of a common language with sports card collectors of different sports. And I am personally more drawn to the image, because something from 1933 that preserves coloring, has this contrasting kind of image, versus the 1927 rookie card is just a black and white image where he's, like, a very small figure in the center of the card. Like, you can't see his face. You don't know what he looks like. So anyways, this is a really cool card that I like. We don't have to get into pricing and stuff, but do a lot of research before you consider purchasing a card like this, because vintage cards highly depend on the condition of the card. Even a card of equivalent grade, a PSA 1 or PSA 3, no two PSA 3s are the same. No two PSA 1s are the same. So one might sell for a lot more than the other because it's got better eye appeal. It might just have one wrinkle that limited the grading, but otherwise it's in nice condition. Kind of like my 97 Sports Illustrated for Kids Tiger rookie. So yeah, I just wanted to bring it up because it's a really nice Bobby Jones vintage card that I've got in my sights for someday down the road.
Yeah, that's a good point on the different condition of the cards that are that old. And you're right, this is a great, great looking card. And there are reprints, so also be careful for those.
But yeah, of course. So anyways, let's move on. So before we get into PMGs, which is what I'm really excited to talk about, Full Swing came out since we last talked. You told me it's been a really cool series. I told you my wife said she's going to watch it with me, but then she got really sick and I just couldn't hold back from turning it on. And I haven't even finished it yet. I've watched 4 episodes. So I've been slowly consuming it, hoping that maybe someday she'll get healthy and she'll watch with me. And I also kind of want to, like, enjoy it rather than cram through it. When I first started opening sports cards packs, I was the weirdo who would, like, open the box of 36 packs. I'd open one pack. I'd do it super slowly. I'd read every stat on the card. It would take me, like, 5 minutes. I'd put it down and I'd say, that was enough for today. And I'd like put the other 35 packs away because I just love the anticipation. And then, you know, a few weeks later and I finally hit the auto that was in the box. And it's like, it's way more exciting, even if it's a crappy player. So I'm kind of watching the series that way too.
You know, I like that. I'm going to steal that from you. I'm going to try to be disciplined. Like every once in a while I'm driving around and I'm thinking, okay, let's treat myself to, like Barnes and Noble, for example, has like pretty decent blasters and hanger packs right now that I'm interested in basketball and get some Optic and Prism basketball and stuff. And so like that's pretty decent. So, if I want to treat myself to one, but I don't like the feeling of, ripping through it and not getting anything and really not enjoying it. So I might steal your move and go through it slowly and try to save packs for later. It's kind of like when you're trying to lose weight and they tell you like the correct way to eat a plate of food would be to like not do anything else while you're eating and like really enjoy every bite. So you're enjoying every bite of your golf cards, which I really like.
Totally. And I totally vibe with what you said. If you just rip through a box and you get nothing and you spent 15 minutes opening it, it's such a letdown because you spent so much money just for the experience of tearing it apart. And then all that's really there for you is the gambling aspect. If you spend a few weeks opening it and you get nothing, you had anticipation day over day. What am I going to get in my next pack? And it's just kind of a better experience in my eyes. That's what I was like when I was a teenager. I don't have as much self-control these days, but when I was like
That's
big into hobbies,
amazing.
yeah.
It's amazing. Amazing self-control as a teenager. But yeah, I like that. I'm gonna take that advice for sure. I think our audience should listen to Mike on that one.
So I'm gonna dive into Full Swing,
All right,
a
cool.
series. So I gotta say, the guys who were playing well, or sorry, last episode was I forget. It was before. Was it after the Waste Management Open? I think it was.
It was right before Genesis, I
Yeah,
think, but
okay. So the two guys that I mentioned, the Canadians, Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin. I haven't checked up on their prices, but they both had really strong finishes at Waste Management, and I would continue to say they're doing well. They weren't featured in Full Swing. Tony Finau, who was is featured in Full Swing. I've only watched the first four episodes, but I've seen his face a handful of times. Maybe there's an episode later on of him.
you want me to
So
tell you?
no, I like
Okay.
the secret, but I look
Okay.
forward to seeing
May or
that
may not
episode.
be.
And his prices have gone up. So I'm really glad I was calling him out as a prospector, somebody that you should be looking at. So Tony Finau, I mean, Morikawa and JT, I haven't had a close eye on their prices, but I assume they definitely haven't been going down. They were both prominently featured in Full Swing, and they're kind of the face of the face of the PGA. So you know what, Paul, you take the lead now because you wrote a whole article on it.
I'm just gonna comment real quick because I watched the series and it got me back into wanting to really, really follow golf. And I'm not the only one. I know that tons of people out there feel the same way. And it's perfect timing for the series to come out. It was really well done, and perfect timing for us to have just started the Golf Card Strategy Show. So props to you, Mike, for helping me do this. So the guys that I li listed in the article were basically not necessarily featured or followed, but they were at least mentioned, which I think, or shown in B-roll. Basically, the requirement to get into my article was to be shown in B-roll. And the re a couple reasons for that. One, not everybody has investable golf cards. So this would have been, if I would have done like a top 10 cards from the people in Full Swing, it would have been basically all Tiger cards, which is boring. It might have been, the purpose of my article was to get people introduced into more than Tiger, right? And even to talk about Jack. So there's B-roll of Jack. This is an interesting card to me. I'll call this one out. We mentioned it in episode one, so go back and listen to or watch episode one of the Golf Card Strategy Show if you haven't already. We talk about this card. Mike breaks it down. It looks like a it's Jack Nicklaus, Don Russ, 1981 Don Russ, right? Number 13.
That's right.
Yep. And so opportunity there. I think that's an interesting card. My personal favorite golfer going in and coming out is Rory. So I was happy with how Rory was portrayed in the series. And I think there's a lot of like, he's number three most highest sold card. Other, so it like goes to Tiger, Jack, Rory. Colin Morikawa looks like a stud to me. I think that Rory and Morikawa have a lot of potential to win big tournaments coming up. I'm curious to Mike's thoughts on what that would do to their card value. Justin Thomas's episode I thought was pretty cool. And so I think that him being like his PGA championship from a year ago being highlighted on the show is definitely good for him overall. I think there's opportunity with, I'm going to skip DeChambeau because I know he's your guy, but I think Spieth, Scheffler, and Finau, honestly, number 8, 9, and 10, their cards are super affordable. And what I like about Scheffler actually is he doesn't have any upper deck like investable cards. He only has the Sports Illustrated for Kids card, which is annoying. But at the same time, if you're an investor, it helps you, especially if you're not only a golf card investor. Like if you invest in a bunch of different sports like I do and you want to get into golf cards, the Scheffler Sports Illustrated for Kids card I think is an interesting one because we talked about Tiger Sports Illustrated for Kids. There are other iconic SI for Kids cards. And this is an achievable card, unlike the Victor Wembanyama card, which just came out, which is like blowing up right now, which is not as achievable for everybody. But a Scheffler SI for Kids is achievable for collectors. And I think there's opportunity for investors if you can find a copy that could grade well and then own it going into a big tournament where he's playing well. Now, those factors are not easy to put together. But if you wanted to make a play, there's that. And then I do think what I like about Finau, and then I'll hand it over to Mike, is it seems to me like his cards are just so affordable. And he's number 12 in the world when I wrote this article. He has 57 top 10 finishes. And it just seems like he's due to win a big one. And I don't know, Mike, if that's one of the reasons why you really like him, but after doing a little bit more golf research, writing this article, seeing Finau kind of pop up in this data here and calling him out at number 10 overall, there seems to be like a huge opportunity to go into his cards. You can see on my screen for those of you listening, there's basically like this huge drop off in Finau pricing where it kind of plateaus over the last 365 days. So that tells me that now would be a great time to buy him if you think he's someone that can win a big, you know, either go on a winning streak this year or win a big one, because 57 top 10 finishes but only 5 career wins, that's not a great batting average when it comes to wins against top 10 finishes, but it tells me that he's due to win more. And Mike, you know way more about this than I do. So I can
totally. What do you think? So first things first, be careful with the gambler's philosophy that someone is due if, you know, it's like at the roulette table. Yeah. Reds come up 5 times in a row, black is due. And so you put your money on black and it just comes up red again, because there's a 50-50 chance of it being either color.
That's true.
Now, in terms of athletic performance, you could think, well, it's not like that because inside of Tony is kind of this fire being built up that he knows he's playing such good golf. And so he might think I'm due, and that might come out as confidence. So it's different than gambling. Like I get that. And what you said at the beginning about Tony, which is that, he's flying under the radar. He's a guy that's so good at golf and yet he just hasn't broken through. That's exactly what I've been trying to say, I think, for the last 2 episodes that we've been talking. Tony's my guy in terms of, a prospect who's investable. Even when the golf cards are spiking in price because of Full Swing, the beginning of the season, majors coming up, you know, perhaps in a traditional sport, it's not the time to be investing in players' cards. I think Tony's that guy who could be the one to break out in a season. Now that said, we're going to talk about PMGs in a little bit. We're not quite there yet, I know, but Tony's a guy who's, his PMGs have skyrocketed. So maybe we missed the boat. I don't know. We'll talk a little bit about that. I love what you said about Rory. Obviously Jack and Tiger, there's nothing to be said. We've, you know, they're the greats of all time. But the other guy you mentioned who you're going to leave for me is DeChambeau. I don't know how much he was featured in the series. I know that before the series, he was actually not on the list of players to be featured specifically because he said, oh, no, I'm not interested, which is a detriment to his collectability and likability. For someone to say, I don't really want to be a part of that Netflix series. No, actually, Rory initially said the same thing. And then I believe there's an episode about Rory. I haven't got there yet, so don't spoil it. But so things can change, I guess. But the thing I will say about DeChambeau is at the LIV event last weekend, his team won. I haven't checked standings. I don't know how DeChambeau finished himself on an individual level, but I've seen highlights of him standing on the podium. He's in the middle of the podium. I believe he's the team captain of his team on LIV. And he's got his players standing next to him on the podium, showering him with champagne. So that kind of imagery, whether people are paying too much attention to LIV or not, can only work in his favor. You know, whether he's a likable personality or not, maybe he's a little bit like Max Verstappen in F1. He's a little bit crusty in his likability, or maybe crusty is not the right word, but a little bit controversial. You either love him or you hate him. But the fact that his team performed well and he's a captain means I think there is opportunity, and his prices are an order of magnitude, if not more, cheaper than 2 years ago when his rookie cards first came out. So I love DeChambeau as a play right now at this second, especially since the start of the PGA season doesn't really affect him. I mean, it's the start of the LIV season too, but LIV's actually been tricky to watch, by the way. So when the first season of LIV came out, you could stream it for free on YouTube. And so I just throw it up on YouTube, and you don't even have to have like a special YouTube membership, just free live stream. Now they have three broadcast deals up here in Canada. It's some channel I don't even have, and it's like CHCH. I don't even know what it stands for. So I wasn't able to actually watch it other than just checking highlights out. So I think that's going to bring a lot less eyes on them unless people already have subscriptions to those channels. Two other guys I want to mention, or maybe three, JT and Morikawa. I'll mention them at the same time because in my circles of golf card collectors and in the posts I see on Instagram, Morikawa is by far the guy that people are showing off his cards, the high-end rollers in sports cards, even guys that don't really collect much golf, who are more focused on football and basketball and stuff, and just kind of dabble a bit in golf, they're showing off Morikawa cards alongside their Tigers. So I'm probably going to go against the grain when I say this. I admit Morikawa is the best ball striker, I think, on the world, possibly. Maybe Cam Smith and Morikawa are kind of hand in hand. But I'm worried about his mentality. I think he may end up with a career sort of like Jordan Spieth, where he comes out hot, wins some majors. Jordan was kind of the epitome of that because he won like four or five majors. I think it was four. And then just vanished. And he totally lost his game. So he's an extreme version of that. I don't think Morikawa is going to lose his game. I think Morikawa came out hot, not as hot as Jordan, but very hot for a rookie. And I think he's going to find it's a bit of a grind over the next few years. Justin Thomas, on the other hand, has just not slowed down, in my opinion. He's not showing any signs of speed bumps, of issues with his mental game. Justin Thomas, it would be the guy to watch out of those two who I think are comparable. And then the last guy I mentioned last episode, Daniel Berger. I don't know if he's in the series or not, maybe in the second half, but he won Rookie of the Year ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago. And he's been injured. He's been struggling with injuries, but I still think he's one of these guys who can come out and win a major and win some tournaments. He's sticking with the PGA, so he doesn't have the LIV controversy to deal with. And, you know, just to be transparent, I've got a couple of his rookie autograph cards, and I'm going to send them into PSA any day now. And I think he's a guy who's super cheap right now, who, what's the worst that could happen? You buy his rookie auto for $10 to $20. Get it graded and it's worth more. What's it going to do? Drop to $5. Like,
Right. Yeah, you might as well take a shot on that, especially if you've got a feeling you've been following him. And I like that call. So, yeah, interesting. Like, it's hard to pick. I think for me, as you know, the reason I love doing this show with you for so many reasons. One of them being, I think between you and I, we represent both segments of the audience. One being the knowledgeable golf collector and investor, which is you, and the other one being, and I know you collect other sports too and invest in other sports, but golf's your primary. I don't really have a primary. I kind of look across all sports and make plays. And so I look at like your comment on Morikawa and I think, okay, yes, that validates what I thought. And it almost makes me want to buy him more, knowing that that is it's anecdotal data from you, but it's still interesting to me knowing that, okay, I'm not really into the golf card collector world and forums and threads and everything like that the way that you are. So it's interesting to me to hear you say that. And I think it's probably interesting to any audience member who's just kind of like, oh yeah, I want to check out golf card strategy, because you know, I don't really know that much about golf cards. We welcome all of you to the show. And so the Morikawa comment is more interesting to me. That tells me maybe he has more mainstream appeal as well.
So could I ask, do you feel validated that I'm telling you there's a lot of other people who are interested in Morikawa?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Because
he kind of hit me as one who is like when I started building the golfer profiles on nooffseason.com, I wasn't really sure who to rank and why to rank them a certain way, the way that I would be with basketball or football or baseball, because I hadn't followed golf as much. And so I wasn't really sure. And there's really the 2021 releases that we talked about in the earlier episodes. And before that, there's not much. So it was hard for me to understand, And it's hard to predict like who's going to win a major. Like that's super hard. It's almost impossible, right?
It could be anyone. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've seen all sorts of stuff happen over the decades with, you know, people, you know, winning majors that were unexpected. But Morikawa was a guy that kind of like, I had heard his name mentioned among golf collectors and investors, but he also struck me as like someone who was maybe more mainstream of like a quote unquote prospect, because it was a couple years ago when I started looking into him. And so I do feel validated with you saying that, but I'm not sure how much you want to elaborate on him specifically, but it's interesting to hear you say, okay, but watch Justin Thomas. You know, that's actually the other takeaway for me is like, okay, but Mike says watch Justin Thomas, everybody. So that's interesting. If he's priced lower than Morikawa, that's especially interesting.
I think he's priced a little lower and he has some other options. So the 2016 Goodwin Champions cards, he's got some cool base cards and inserts, and of course his XRC, his rookie card from 2016 auto, two versions of it, the Gaudi version or Goody version, and then the base autograph. And of course there's an inscription version as well that he would say something like, you know, PGA champ numbered out of 50 or something like that. So, you know, JT's got some more options, and I just think the way their games are heading, they both have huge potential. They both have two majors. So that's why I like to compare them. You know, they're both relatively young guys. I don't think either of them has broken 30 yet. And it same number of majors. I don't know. I just think Justin isn't talked about as much outside of the golf geeks. And so that may mean he has a better opportunity, whereas Morikawa is kind of all over the place when it comes to golf cards. His price is probably a little bit higher. So if you think they have an equal shot at winning the next major, and one guy's prices are lower, who would you want to take a stab at, right? Justin, I think, has just as good of a shot at breaking out as Colin Morikawa or as winning. They've both broken out.
Right.
So invest in the guy that has lower prices. But anyways, like, hey, let's, you know, I think the cards are on the table. I'm on team JT, your team Morikawa, you know, let's keep the show going. And throughout the golf season, we can rib each other a little bit about who's guys doing well.
Absolutely. And I do need to make some golf card. I need to make at least one golf card play this season, because of this show. It needs to be, I need to be in it. I need to have some skin in the game.
That's
So
right.
I need to think through, you know, is it a Morikawa play? Is it, you know, it can't be a JT play because of what you just said. It could be a Scottie Scheffler grade, SI for kids, grade that and roll the
Yeah.
dice with a grading company and
Love
see if he
it.
can win again. But I don't know. We'll
I think you
see.
should do the Scotty play because that's something I haven't done, and I just want to see how it turns out.
Okay, maybe I
Actually, when it
will.
comes to
I
grading, before we get into PMGs, I've got a sub ready to go here, all prepped. That I'm just waiting to see if PSA is going to announce a new promotion next week, or actually in 2 days, because I've got a pile of 39 Pokemon cards that I'm going to get graded that should actually be a pretty decent lot of cards. And I'm trying to kind of sell and then pay off the balance of some cards I've been buying lately, and then save the rest towards a really big purchase. I'm not going to sell off all the Pokemon cards because they're all from my childhood, and there's some cool ones that like I might keep one or two for, you know, for nostalgia, but I'm going to try and sell them all and maybe save up for like a Tiger Rookie auto or something like that. We'll see.
Sweet.
But that'll be a long time saving for me. But I'm just going to flip through this submission that I'm going to send in. This wasn't on the agenda, but it might be interesting for you guys to see. So I got Tiger Woods rookie card here. This is actually a friend's Patrick Mahomes. And then we got a Sergio Garcia 1/1 Leaf card
Nice.
auto. There's the Daniel Berger rookie auto I was talking about. So I've got actually two of those I'm sending in. Tyrese Halliburton. So, like you said, I do collect multiple sports. That's his select silver, some color variation. Back to golf. Your guy, Colin Morikawa,
There he
numbered edit.
is.
Cosmic. This is Goodwin Champions. Cosmic. Platinum Cosmic out of 99. That's the Goody version, Gaudy version. Oh, there we go. That's an
I like that card. Yep.
iconic Kobe Bryant 2008 tops.
Guarded by LeBron. Kendall's
Yep.
talked about that card on the Sports Card Strategy Show.
Love that card. College jersey, Derrick Rose silver script rookie card. UFC, guys, a Canadian, George St. Pierre, Bloodlines.
This PSA grader is gonna love you. You
Yeah,
got all
right?
these different cards from different
This is
sports.
always how it is, man. Conor McGregor, Fearless, 2021 Prism silver. There's a back to golf, Tiger Woods. This is the
That's
base
sharp.
card,
I like that.
Platinum Cosmic out of 99. It's funny. I probably should actually put this next to the Morikawa. If you were like an OCD type of person, you
Yeah.
want them right next to each other.
PSA recommendations.
However, okay, but however, I'm of the opinion that this is kind of weird to say out loud, but I think about this way too much.
I like this.
I
Keep going.
organize my submission in a way that as if I was a grader receiving this submission. And if I were flipping through cards, I like to think if I was grading this card, what am I looking for in the first card? It looks pretty good. But as you look at a card, expectations are kind of like sinking into your own mind. So I might, if I want a particular card to get a really good grade, I might put a card that has a flaw right in front of it so that they might look at us, oh, I found a surface ding. There it is. Clear day is light or clear as
Yeah.
day. And then they move on to the next card, and maybe it has a more subtle flaw. But in their mind, they're like, I just caught that surface flaw. That looked good. And they might look at this one and say, that's
This
not
is
as.
great psychology. These are humans grading these cards. So Mike is playing off that. I like it personally.
Exactly.
And I like that you have the tabs. You've got the tabs, make it easy for them to pull out.
Yeah, I
With
don't put that
tabs
on
stuck to
all
the
of them,
back.
but I try to. Yeah, it's just a standard, like.
Yep.
But you'd use it when you're studying out of a textbook as a student. And then I got my three the three big diamond relics that I'm going to get graded.
Nice.
This is kind of my test run with the diamond relics because I know they don't grade well. I'm just going to see how Arnold, Jack, and Tiger grade out. And if I don't get good grades, I might just leave them as the only one in the PSA slabs. If they do grade well, I might look at grading the rest of my diamond relic set. And then if they grade well, but the other ones don't look like they will grade well, maybe I'll just have to get another Tiger, Jack, and Arnold to have a whole set that's ungraded and then keep the big three as like my second copies. But then it's starting to get expensive. So, anyways.
Well, I'm excited to hear back hopefully in a couple months what the grades are.
You bet, you bet.
It's exciting.
So we're almost at the end of the episode. We haven't even got into PMGs yet. So let's dive right into it, man.
All right.
Can you share your screen? I want you, actually, are you able to pull up an Instagram profile on your computer?
Sure.
I don't, yeah. Go on Instagram. I got to give a shout out to my guy. He's just a hobby friend. I actually don't know him personally, but we go back and forth a little bit with messaging. I believe it's a guy that works for Upper Deck actually. And his username is U Exclusive, and that is reference to Upper Deck exclusive cards. And what those are cards that are printed by Upper Deck specifically for its employees. Sorry, it's called Upper Deck Employee Exclusive. That's the name of these cards. His username is U Exclusive. And Upper Deck Employee Exclusive cards are given out or perhaps purchased. I don't know what the actual arrangement is, to the employees as a benefit of working for the company. And the very first golf precious metal gems cards were Upper Deck Employee Exclusive.
So the okay, is it U Exclusive D perhaps? Or is that a... Does this look right to you?
Yeah, that's it. Sorry.
Okay.
It has a D on the end.
Got it.
So what you're looking at the very beginning of the profile are his most recent posts. And these are versions of the 2021 Upper Deck Metal Universe Champions PMGs, except these kind of purple ones that you're looking at are the employee exclusive versions.
That's and sweet.
They are sweet. So you can, I think that's an MJ on the left. There's a yep. LeBron in the middle. So sweet cards to collect. If he gets them for free, that's amazing. So if you scroll down, I want to kind of start at the beginning of golf PMGs.
While I'm doing that, I saw Scoot Henderson, not to take us off track, because this is not not the high school or the G League Ignite show. So
okay, there's a Rory right in the middle there.
Yep, here we go.
So that Rory, so that year was 2013. Upper Deck released PMGs of multi-sport athletes. There was a Mike Tyson. There was a Michael Phelps. There was all kinds of, you know, top of their sport athletes. For golf, there was only two golfers, Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods. Before 2021, those were the only precious metal gems for golf cards. And they are not cheap. We don't have to go into eBay right now, but those ones were highly sought after. I would guess this Rory that he's got on his profile sells for at least $1,000. Somewhere probably between $1,000 and $2,000. The Tiger in a PSA 8 would probably, I don't know, pull at least a few thousand dollars, probably more like five. I've seen the PSA 10 of the Tiger Woods, you know, sell for like in the teens of thousands, like 15, 20 grand.
Wow.
And that's, I believe, amazing. He has. So if you scroll down, you'll find it actually.
And that actually says a lot about Rory too. The fact that there were only two, Tiger and Rory. There's a Morikawa. There's another Rory.
And all those cards you're looking at, I believe most of them are actually Upper Deck. There's the Tiger. Are Upper Deck employee exclusive cards. And so the Morikawa you saw that had the white, kind of black, white, and blue background on the side or somewhere, it would say employee exclusive. So so that's a sweet looking card. Aesthetically, it's awesome. I love that he's wearing his red shirt. I mean, he's got a vest over top of it, but still, it's a Sunday red image. The reason I bring that up is that if you refer back to the Cosmic card that I had in my PSA submission, had like a blue Cosmic appearance. He's wearing a blue kind of camo golf shirt, which looks awesome. But if you're a fan of Tiger and you're kind of a diehard fan, are you really wanting to collect Tiger wearing a blue shirt, or do you want to collect Tiger wearing a Sunday red shirt? And for those who don't know, Tiger Woods always wears his red shirt on Sundays. And that's what he was wearing when he won every single one of his majors and all 81 of his PGA wins.
Yep. Red for birdies, baby.
Red for blood.
Red for under par. Red for blood. Nice.
I read the Tiger Woods.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, if you read the Tiger Woods biography, which was not written by Tiger and actually not even approved by Tiger, his team the writer tried to consult with Tiger, and they said, we need to review every single word that you're going to publish before, you know, you get comment from us or something along those lines. So pretty much his biography was published without consultation with Tiger or his team. But somewhere in there, it talked about being raised by his father to be just a killer on the golf course. And I believe there was some kind of reference to like blood and wearing red to kind of like be a killer or something like that.
That's amazing. I love that. 2013 Upper Deck exclusive, employee exclusive E-TW card. We're looking at a Gem Mint 10. This thing's probably a ridiculous amount of money for those of you listening on Apple and Spotify. So what else, Mike?
So what we just looked at is kind of the beginning of Upper Deck or of precious metal gems golf cards. Out of the price range for most collectors, except high rollers or people who focus solely on them. So then what I want to talk about is 2021 Metal Universe Champions. And if you could go to the checklist, so go to the Cardboard Connection and look up or just Google it. 2021 Upper Deck Metal Universe Champions checklist. And if you scroll down, you're going to find like the base checklist, and I believe that each base card has a PMG version. So let's just scroll through slowly through here, and I'll kind of point things out. Keep scrolling.
Actually, I see Sahith Thigala.
Boom, yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna highlight the word golf, so make it a little easier on you.
Oh, I love that. Under the parallel, so it's 100 cards at the top before all the names. Does it say if there's PMG parallels in that little description?
It says no. It says no. There are out of 299 silver dots.
Well, then keep scrolling because I want to get to where it's talking about precious. You might
okay. Here's
not metalized. Metalized is another subset. Metalized. Here's precious metal gems. There we go.
There it is.
So if you read the different types underneath the header, there are like a red out of 150. There's, I think, like a pink out of 150 or something.
Pink
like that.
Out of 75, orange out of 100, blue out of 25, green out of 10, purple one of one.
So right out the gate, you can tell there's a lot of different variations of these PMGs. The Upper Deck exclusive versions were only numbered out of, I think it was 125. And there's only that purple version. So now we've got out of 150, out of 100, out of 75, out of 25, out of 10, 1
of 1. Yep.
So by the way, I am collecting the rainbow for Matthew Wolf now that I have the 1 of 1.
Let's go.
So nice. That will be really cool. I mean, I have the most expensive one, so it shouldn't be too expensive, but to get the rest. But and then in addition to those parallels you just described, there's also the 1997 retro PMG. The retro PMG, instead of using the image of the base card and then just kind of like coloring it and having a serial number on the back, the retro PMG has like this space kind of background and the golfer is like standing on like Mars or something like that. It's kind of a much more.
Yeah, I think I've seen photos of that. I know what you're talking about.
So, and in terms of investability, that's probably the card to go after, unless you're chasing like a 1 of 1 purple PMG or an out of 25, like I bought with the Colin Morikawa. Now, what's interesting is the retro PMG has two numbers. Two colors. There's a red numbered out of 100, and there's a green also numbered out of 100.
Yeah, okay. This is the checklist. Sorry. Yeah. So there's Matthew Wolf. There's Colin Morikawa, Bryson DeChambeau, Tiger Woods, Lexi Thompson. I believe that. Oh, Tony Finau.
Mm-hmm.
Retro PMG, red out of 90, green out of 10, which is that's what they were in 97, right?
So what I'm gonna tell you is, like I said, there's red out of 100 and green out of 100, but there are not 200 of those cards. The red says out of 100, but the serial numbers are only 11 through 100. The green says out of 100, but there are only serial numbers 1 through 10 or 1 through 9. Yeah, 1 through 10. So there's
even confusing.
I know. So I've seen some of these green retro PMGs come up, and I'm looking at them saying, why does it say out of 100? And it's misleading to the point where people who see these pop up on eBay might say, I'm not going to throw a super high bid on the green because it says it's out of 100. So, you know, 99 of them might pop up over the next few years that I can just kind of keep my eye out. But in reality, there's only nine other versions of that card.
Wow.
Similarly with the red one, I bought the Matthew Wolf red one, and I looked at it and said, there's 100 of these cards. No, there's only 90 of them. So I found that kind of interesting. So this is the set that I would compare to the original 2013 Upper Deck exclusive, employee exclusive Tiger and Rory cards. These are kind of the modern, ultra modern equivalents to those. The other list that we were looking at, which had the base PMGs, they don't have the retro appearance to them. There's like five different parallel versions, which means there's like 400 probably colors PMGs per player. Mm-hmm. So be careful. The Tiger retro, or the Tiger base PMGs, so not the retro versions, but the ones that are base, still sell really well, right? You can buy one for a few $100s. Which is awesome to get a Tiger Woods precious metal gems for a few $100s.
Super. Yeah. Super interesting stuff. Like this is, I would love the audience's reaction to this. Because I think, I mean, just the name recognition alone, with precious metal gems, if any of these are achievable for you guys out there, like, let us know. I'm super interested if audiences are going after some of these.
In terms of pricing, these have kind of shot up within the last month. I was keeping a close eye on these last fall, and then through the winter, I kind of regret not making some purchases. I've been pumping and dumping, but I've been talking about Tony Finau, saying this is the guy, he's flying under the radar. And I was bidding on every Tony Finau PMG that was being listed on eBay over the winter. And unfortunately I didn't win any, and I'm really mad. There was five or six times where I was the second, like the bid, I incrementally bid it up, and then the winner was just above me. And somebody out there knew that Tony was worth the investment. And around that time I was placing bids between $50 to $70 for Tony Finau retro PMG. So the one that is very investable. And those were the red versions. And they were selling between $50 to $80. I even saw a PSA 8 sell for, I think it was about $65 US. And if you know anything about the PMGs, they do not grade well. So especially the 2021 Metal Universe Champions, the edges are super dinged up. Like the average grade is a 6 or 7. So to get a PSA 8 is pretty incredible. And I'm really disappointed I lost out on that. Because it was about the same price as a raw version, and you don't have to pay the grading fees, and you get probably one of the highest graded copies of that card that will ever pop. And I've been keeping my eye on the Tony Finau red PMGs lately, and they have been selling, I want to say $150. So they've doubled to tripled within the last month. So the reason I bring this up, it's not necessarily a great buy right now because the price has doubled or tripled. However, you know, that's your decision to make. Is Tony a kind of guy who is going to win a couple big tournaments, maybe win a major, and his prices may jump up to a Justin Thomas or Colin Morikawa level? Colin Morikawa retro red is selling for hundreds of dollars. I want to say $350-ish. So $150 for a Tony Finau. Could he double if he has a breakout season? Maybe.
But you got me thinking.
I'm kicking myself for not buying them at 60.
Yeah, for sure. It's so super frustrating when you get outbid by just a few dollars too on some mm-hmm. of those auctions. But good stuff today, Mike. Good stuff. I mean, given me a lot to think about, given the audience a lot to think about, would love to hear the audience's reaction. We love your feedback. And if there's anyone who wants us to answer any questions, leave a comment or go to Instagram, check out Mike. golf_card_collector. I'm at Sports Card Strategy. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. He's Mike Lacusta. Mike, great work on another episode of the Golf Card Strategy Show. Anything else you want to you want to say, leave the audience with before we sign off for today?
Check us out on Facebook as well. Golf Cards and Memorabilia. We have actually had a lot of people joining the group lately. So when we had episode one, we were like 1500 members. I think we've added a couple hundred since then. Lots of buying, selling. Make sure you follow the group rules. Check me out on Instagram. Hit me up if you've got any cool golf cards, because at heart, I'm a collector. I only flip to keep building my collection. And that's it, Paul. I'm looking forward to episode four already.
I am too, man. This has reinvigorated my love for golf and certainly got me more into golf cards. And big time thanks to you for helping me do that. So great work. Everybody, thanks so much. Yeah, check Mike out. I think I'm going to have to join that Facebook group as well. Thanks so much for watching and listening. I'm Paul Hickey. He's Mike LaCosta. Have a great day, everybody. And of course, it's time to cue the rock music.